welcome to What Is It About the Weather? Where once a week we get together and explore the many ways that weather pokes and prods, winds and weaves itself into the fabric of our lives. I'm your host, Mark Jelinek, and this week we're going to be talking about, do meteorologists confer the same or different than other folks? But before I jump into that topic, let me take a moment to talk about the survey. No, I'm not going to ask you to do it again. But I did want to say thank you to all of you who took the time to fill it out during the course of December. It was greatly appreciated. And to all of you who support the podcast, whether it's by filling out surveys, whether it's going to patreon.com/weather and providing a little monthly financial support, or PayPal for that matter, to help us keep revenue neutral. Or those who tell other folks about the podcast, or send me show ideas, or just thank yous on occasion, whatever it is. It's greatly appreciated. And as we head into 2018 and kick off the next year of podcast, I just wanted to take a moment and say thank you. Now, my weather week was very focused on trying to keep warm. Now, some of you have probably heard we've got this big storm going on in the northeastern portion of the United States and off coastal Canada as well, or the Maritime provinces. And it's a pretty big storm. You probably heard bomb cyclone if you're following the news, or bombogenesis. And this is really just a way we describe a storm that changes in pressure pretty quickly, just like a hurricane can do it as well. We tend to call it rapid intensification. It's a different mechanism for how these things happen, but the outcomes are very similar. It talks about how strong that storm is getting. Big storm, particularly big because we've got this new satellite up there allowing us to look at it like we've never looked at these kind of storms before. So it's kind of neat. A lot of people doing it, but I've been getting ready for the conference and haven't had as much time to focus on that, but I have had to focus on staying warm. Here in the South, we didn't certainly get as cold as some other areas, but we're not quite as used to it. So when our days don't get above freezing, that's pretty cold for us. And it presents unique problems. And that led to certainly my weather intertwined element of the week, which was being woken up at 3 a.m, not last night, but the night before, by a fire alarm. Pipe burst, sprinkler system lost all its water, or the water pressure. And of course that triggered a fire alarm to go off. So we didn't do so good of a job in that case of staying warm. But overall, I haven't heard a lot of bad stories. Yeah, but again, our exposures are different. We've got a couple more days, so who knows? Who knows where it'll go? Any case, I'm a little more rested today, so hopefully I don't sound like I didn't get any sleep or anything like that. A little more last night. All right. Hope you're staying warm if you're in the middle of this storm or wherever you might be, or if it's really hot. I hope you're staying cool. But let's move on to our main topic this week. So, do meteorologists confer like everybody else? I get the question a lot about what happens at these conferences. And I think it comes from wondering, if we're just sitting around the whole time issuing weather forecasts. So, person A is done. Now it's time for person B to give their weather forecast. And no, that's not really what happens. Actually, we do have weather briefings at this conference. They may not be as quite as big of a deal as they were back in the day before everybody had an app on their phone or could easily check information on their phone while they're attending the conference. But it is an excellent opportunity for students or the local office where the conference is taking place to do a weather briefing. But that is just a small fraction of what happens at these conferences. So in short, they're sessions. People are presenting research, maybe talking on relevant topics to the weather enterprise. There's meetings, there's meals, there's exhibitors. Heck, there's even after parties, just like any conference. Now, part of that may depend on if you've ever been to what would be called a professional conference, right? I know back in the day, before I got into meteorology, I was going to some of these conferences, but I was always an exhibitor, so I didn't really see the conference side of things all that often. I was occasionally invited to speak and would present, so I had kind of a glimpse, but it wasn't my focus. I can't say that I was going to these conferences on a regular basis as an attendee. But if you've ever attended, I would tell you that a weather conference is probably very similar to any sort of professional conference. Now, it's not going to be like an expo or a show. As many of you probably are aware, CES is going to also be kicking off this week. I think it's going to be overlapping a lot. I think we'll get a lot less press than maybe the CES folks will. And at that show, the focus is very much about what's new, what's trending, what are the consumers going to see this year, and of course, a lot of business dealings that go around that. But it's not so much about sessions to talk about the trade, if you will. Yes, there are product demonstrations, but that really is a different sort of thing. Now, our weather conference, again, do we talk a lot of weather? Sure. Lots of that going on. But like this podcast, much is focused on what else is going on in our industry, or the weather enterprise, if you will, both public and private sector, what's new research-wise, but also how is that being communicated with folks? How is it touching other elements like artificial intelligence or machine learning? You know, how is weather intertwining into the fabric of the planet and how we all live our lives? So there's a lot more to it than just the science of the weather. Now, that being said, there are specialty conferences. You know, I mentioned the one I went to in the fall where we were really focused more on operational meteorology, a lot about doing forecasting or presenting information to the public. But I've attended tropical conferences where the focus is very much on things like tropical cyclones or weather that tends to take place just in the tropics of the planet. And a lot of science conversations about that, but also impacts, but with a narrower framework in which to have the discussion. So I've talked about at these conferences things that have gone into hydrology, when you think about snow and stream flows and those sort of things. Whereas this time I'll be talking about education and outreach and podcast. You know, the survey that you took will be part of that. It's our weather ready nation, and we look at how we're making the U.S. a weather ready nation. Now this conference that I'll be going to is, as far as I know, it's the largest weather-specific or meteorology-specific conference that takes place every year. But there are others. This one just happens to be where the bulk of people come together, and we can hit a lot of topics. And that's actually one of the things I like about this conference, is it provides an opportunity for me to learn on different subjects that I might be interested in. Because while a lot of people specialize in one thing, I've always enjoyed touching a lot of different elements, even within meteorology. Like I said, you know, when I get into snowfall components or snowpack components, I'm in a kind of a whole new spectrum with the hydrology element. What the podcast has opened me up to, and more of the communication or a frontward facing element that I had not been part of in the past. So it's a good chance for me to learn. And quite frankly, it is a good chance to confer. I see sessions, I may ask questions, or have a conversation with who presented after, you know, they have finished with their presentation. I'm going to see peers and colleagues and friends and talk with them about different things going on in their lives, but also within the weather enterprise. Trends and new approaches and where the science is advancing, etc. And of course, just like many expos or shows, as well as conferences, there's the business element. There's certainly exhibits, people trying to sell their wares or create arrangements where, you know, they may provide a type of forecast that somebody else needs, those sort of things. So there's a little bit of everything. Fundamentally, though, the idea of the conference in a large scale is about sharing new knowledge, all right? And yes, we do live in a day and age where it's easier to do that. It's one of the reasons maybe, for instance, the weather briefings aren't as big as they might have been in the past, because we've got these phones and levels of communication we didn't have. But I can tell you, being immersed like it is at a conference provides an opportunity for thought, especially some group thought or dialogue amongst not just your normal clan, if you will, that can open up new ideas and thoughts and perspectives that you just may not get in a more formal, think that email sounds all that formal to folks. But having a conversation over a cup of coffee is different, and you don't always get that chance to do that with these people that you may see once a year at this type of conference or occasionally at a specialty conference. So it's very important. Now, like I said, this time around, I'll be presenting on things that I've not presented on before. And one of those is the survey, right? That you guys helped me to do. But before I get into, I'm going to give you guys a little sneak peek. I'm going to give you a sneak peek into the what is it about the weather responses versus the broader topic. But I did want to take a moment to thank all the other podcasts who helped with the research. The goal of this research was understanding, you know, last year we had this National Weather Podcast Month, and we're going to do that again this year. But in last year, one of the elements that came out of that was for all these podcasts to follow what had been just one podcast that had been what's called a Weather Ready Nation Ambassador. And it kind of opened up a new view and things that we could talk about, and certainly I've talked about with you guys. But that step meant that anything that I might want to look at from a research perspective or just a knowledge increase perspective should be broader than just you and me talking here. So I reached out as we were getting ready for the next National Weather Podcast Month that's going to be, again, coming up soon. And I said to my fellow podcasters, hey, I'd appreciate it if you guys would be willing to share this survey that hopefully, you know, those of you who took it or at least looked at it will have an understanding of with your audience. Can you please do that? And so I want to thank the folks at Weather Brains, Weather Hype, Stormfront Freaks, the Weather Junkies, and the Carolina Weather Group, who each provided an opportunity for their listeners to also respond, because it does help fill it out and provide a more complete picture when we're talking about this broader topic. There'll be links in the show notes to those different podcasts if you want to take a look at them. And again, you'll hear more about them when we get to National Weather Podcast Month as well. But what did you guys have to say? What was your feedback? Was it surprising? Was it as expected? Inquiring minds want to know. I guess the first thing that surprised me was the amount of yeses. Now, people that respond to surveys, yeah, that's not always a completely accurate representation of the broader audience, but it gives you some insights. And we ask questions related to the types of learning, the science, the impacts, dealing with weather when it puts you in a dangerous situation. And I really was genuinely surprised at the level of yeses that we got in all those things. We really didn't have, I think there was maybe one no in the mix. Yeah, some maybes, and I understand that. But I really was. I was surprised by the level of yeses. I was also, I guess what you may want to know is how you responded in terms of being ready for dealing with dangerous weather situations compared to some of the other components we looked at. We looked at things like local TV and radio, national or cable, National Weather Service websites, weather apps and social media. And while we were lower on the TV and the National Weather Service websites, which I would have expected, we were significantly higher on the other ones. And I didn't necessarily think that was going to be the case. All right. I wasn't, I haven't really focused in my mind. And this is my perspective. And that was the other thing that was interesting, is what I might think versus how you responded. And that tended to be the case across all the different podcast as well. I think we host see that we're presenting or feel we're presenting in a certain way, but your takeaway or your perception may be different, sometimes meaningfully so. Now, advantages you gave to podcast, the time element about having time to discuss topics in more detail and the ability to present it maybe in a way that some of these other channels can't do. As an example, let's take a local television station. They may just not be able to do stuff in a free-flowing format like we can do it here. Or a website might not have the ability to provide audio support or, kind of an off-the-cuff thinking about a topic in a way that we can do it here. So those didn't really surprise me at all. Of course, you also did ding, the podcast on, it not having the ability to present the information in a way that was timely to when the event was happening. And some people view that as a positive, okay? But I generally see it as a negative, and you guys saw it that way as well. So what did surprise me a little bit, though, so those responses, I guess, were in line with my expectations. You surprised me in the amount of others that you answered. I'm always amazed. Taking the time to enter an other on a survey means you really thought about it. And one of the, I guess, the most interesting ones that, you know, I hadn't thought about in a while was the comment about the podcast being available infinitely and always available and always repeatable. So it's there to go back to again and again and again. If you didn't hear something right the first time, or you wanted to clarify and make sure you heard it right, or you wanted to come back to it 24 hours later or 48 hours later or 2 weeks down the road, you could easily do that. Sometimes with other inputs, especially, you know, audio video variety, they're not easily accessible down the road. You know, whatever they may have covered it when they did a spot on it, let's say on a television station, you may or may not be able to get to at a future date and time. Now, on the negative side, and I thought this was interesting, is it was commented about how the podcast isn't able to push information quickly and easily to listeners during dangerous situations. Like, let's say there's a risk of a tornado, or, as you know, what's going on in the Northeast, a big snowstorm or a blizzard. There might be benefit for a podcast to be able to hit their viewing or listening audience with relevant information when those events are going down, because you're in a mode to deal with it, right? And this, again, gets back to why TV might have an advantage, or why the National Weather Service websites might have an advantage, because they can give you that information easily at that time. Now, it may be in a past episode, but going back and digging through the episode, unless there's really extensive notes to do search on, which we don't have, it's not going to be easily obtained by the listener or viewer. So I thought that was kind of interesting, and it's something to ponder. I mean, maybe someday, and the podcasts do have the ability to get apps in place and to push stuff, but it's not the same as if you've loaded your, you know, local television station app and they send you an alert and useful information at the time. Now, one thing I also found interesting, and I didn't really know how the audience for this podcast was going to be, is folks who had not heard of the Weather Ready Nation. Now, this is folks who responded from a U.S. perspective. And only one third of you had actually not heard of the program, which I thought would be a little higher. It is a terminology that anybody who has some weather interest in the U.S. is going to have probably heard in the last few years. Maybe not a lot, but is going to at least have heard it. And so most of you had heard of it before. Although I was surprised at how often you guys said I mentioned the program. In my mind, all right, I had only, I don't know, said stuff on a seasonal basis. And I know I do it on a seasonal basis because that's when the new information comes out. And we get these alerts from the program itself about mentioning it. And I try to do it as it changes. But you guys, over 70% of you said I say something on a monthly basis or more often even. And I was surprised by that. So there's either some kind of lingering effect that your perception is that I'm just mentioning it on a more frequent basis, or maybe I am and I'm not realizing it. Any case, because you would walk away from this episode going, well, he mentioned it in this episode, and that's true. And I may not think about it because I'm not specifically talking about the benefits of the program. The other thing that was interesting also, though, is that most people who responded only listen to one weather-related podcast. And I found that particularly intriguing. I think a lot of times, and I know this podcast is a little different than some of the other weather-themed or weather-focused podcasts, and that our focus is not about discussing the weather. Yeah, sometimes we get into the science of the weather, but a lot of times it's about impact-oriented information. So it wouldn't have surprised me at all if you guys were listening to another podcast that maybe was a little more focused on the weather or the science of the weather. But generally speaking, you don't. And, you know, I don't know the reason for that. But I'm sure that, you know, at some point, maybe you have or haven't, and maybe you've just settled in on this podcast, which is fine, right? And you're listening to other podcasts. With, you know, you may say, I have a budget of 5 hours a week or 5 hours a month or whatever it is for a podcast, and I'm only going to do one weather one. I guess I was just a little surprised that the number wasn't higher. Any case, that's your sneak peek at the responses you gave. At the conference, I will be covering the more general what happened. But I will tell you that your responses were fairly in line. There were some differences and a lot of similarities between what the broader perspective was. Again, thank you for all who took the survey. I hope, you may or may not find this information useful. But that's one of the things I'm going to confer about this coming week when I'm at the annual AMS meeting. Now, let's get off conferencing for a bit. Let's move on to something else that came in from one of our listeners, Aaron, who's a frequent, he prompts me to think, and actually he hits me on weather-related stuff. And he sent me a question on frontal boundaries. And he mentioned that on his TV forecast that he watches occasionally, that meteorologist does not tend to present frontal boundaries in their forecast anymore. And he was wondering if there was a particular reason why. He even mentioned in an app it's harder to get. And I threw out some initial stuff. And as I told him, I'm going to confer with my peers this week and see if there's more to it. But I do think that we're in an age where I still like them. And I gave him a source that I used to still go get them over at the Weather Prediction Center. Their website has, you know, straightforward maps that you can get that have weather fronts on them. Okay. But it kind of hit home, I think, in my mind that it's probably has more to do that fronts are kind of boring. They tend to be a little static. And yes, you can draw them and animate them, but then they tend to be maybe not as accurate, and they're more conveying an idea than the specific implications. And even as we've moved in this day and age, we know a lot of times when you're looking at a cold front that it's as much about vertically what's happening above that cold front that might tell us more about the impacts and the timing. So I think we've moved away from them in that perspective. But I also think in a broad scale, when you're looking at what's coming down the road or what may be coming in the week ahead, that frontal boundaries are still very, very useful. And I like them too, Aaron. So as I told him as well in my response, again, maybe not as pretty as a satellite image, maybe not as telling in a vertical perspective, maybe not as changing, because you know you could only update it, so you could update it more often, but realistically they tend to get updated every 6 hours for sure. The readings are there to do it more often, but the computer generated frontal boundaries have not been as good, and they may look more jagged, and so having something that smooths them out, I think with AI and machine learning and all that, we ought to be able to do it. So maybe we'll see a return of the frontal boundary, who knows. But thank you for that question, Aaron. Again, I always appreciate getting those sort of questions, and that comes to this point. I'm going to be at this conference. I'm going to be around a lot of people who know a lot about weather, and not just about weather, but weather impacts, how weather is touching different industries, how weather is touching different aspects of our lives, different technologies. So if any of you have a question or an idea or a concept or whatever it is that you would like me to explore at the upcoming AMS meeting, please pop me an email. whatisitaboutheweather.com/contact. You can use the form or whatisitaboutheweather@gmail.com. You can just send me a thing and say, hey, this is what I'd like you to do. Or you can throw it to me on Twitter as well. I put a request out on Twitter this week, so I'm fine with getting it however you want to. But I'd be glad to explore it because, as I've said, this will be the first time I've gone to this annual meeting. The last time I went was a couple years ago, right before the podcast started. So I was thinking about the podcast then, but maybe not in the same way. So this will be the first time that I'm attending this conference in a mindset of what might my listeners want to know about. So please feel free to take an active role in helping me see what you think might be interesting, because I'll be glad to explore it. Okay, it's time for me to get back to finalizing. I got to work a little bit more on my poster session. I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to be presenting podcast and vlogging on a poster. It's been an interesting challenge. But I am using an example. One of the things I'm going to be showing is the series we did about where does my forecast come from? Because I think it's a good example about how you can outreach on these topics and use podcast to help, you know, spread knowledge and information, particularly in something that needs more time than just a run-of-the-mill brief website explanation or a couple-minute blurb on the topic. So I'm going to run off and do that. But as always, whether you're trying to stay warm or trying to cool off, remember to take a moment in all that and look around and see how weather is impacting you in ways that maybe you never imagined. Maybe something new and different that you hadn't quite thought about before. Because as we all know, there's much more to weather than the weather itself.
This is Two White Sofa Production.
We're tired of hearing our uncle grovel, so please support him on patreon.com/weather.